It was just before sunrise on March 12, 2022, in Fernley, Nevada. The parking lot outside Walmart glowed under cold fluorescent lights. 18-year-old Naomi Irian sat in her car, waiting for the shuttle that would take her to work at a nearby Panasonic factory. Around 5:50 a.m., a man wearing a hoodie walked past rows of parked cars, glancing once, then twice. Security footage would later show him pacing, circling, then opening her driver's door. The car rolled away quietly into the dark. By noon, her brother reported her missing. Deputies searched the lot and found only her phone signal gone. No one heard a scream, and no one saw where the car went. Within hours, a small Nevada town would turn into the center of a statewide search, one that began with a grainy video frame and ended in the desert, with far more questions than answers. Chapter 1: The Vanishing Point. At dawn, March 12, 2022, Fernley, Nevada, was still half asleep. A few trucks rumbled down Interstate 80, their headlights cutting through the mist that hung over the desert flats. The parking lot outside the Walmart Supercenter glowed pale blue under rows of sodium lamps. Cameras on the light poles clicked on as the first workers arrived for early shifts. Naomi Irian's car pulled in just before 5:30 a.m. She parked in her usual spot along the south edge, near the garden section. Her routine was fixed: arrive, wait 15 minutes for the shuttle to the Panasonic factory in Sparks, scroll her phone, listen to music. She texted a friend a short message: nothing urgent, just chatter before work. Then she set the phone on her lap and waited. The store had not yet opened. Only a few vehicles were scattered through the lot, mostly employees, some truckers, and a car that idled briefly before leaving. The air was still, the kind of silence that belongs to small desert towns before sunrise. The footage. At 5:50 a.m., one of Walmart's exterior cameras caught a figure walking from the direction of the fuel station toward the rows of parked cars. The man wore a gray hoodie, jeans, and gloves. He moved with a deliberate pace, hands in pockets, glancing over each vehicle as if he were looking for something familiar. For nearly 5 minutes, he wandered out of frame, returned, and finally stopped beside Naomi's car. At that hour, only a few drivers noticed movement in the lot. None realized they were witnessing an abduction. The man opened the driver's door, stepped inside, and the car rolled forward. It exited quietly through the east drive. The timestamp showed 5:55 a.m. For investigators, that 5-minute segment of video would become the starting point of everything. The first hours. When Naomi failed to message anyone from work, her co-workers assumed she had taken a day off. Her family did not hear until later that morning, when her brother, Casey Valdez, realized she had never returned home. By noon, he drove to the Walmart lot and found the spot empty. Casey called the Lyon County Sheriff's Office at 12:30 p.m. Deputies arrived within the hour. They questioned store staff, reviewed sign-in sheets, and requested camera access. Security personnel began copying the early morning footage onto a flash drive for deputies. What they saw immediately raised alarms. The car had not been stolen from the street. It had left under someone's control, with Naomi inside. The sheriff's office issued a be-on-the-lookout bulletin for a 1992-era four-door sedan, Midnight Blue. The plate was entered into the statewide system. Patrols checked nearby gas stations and freeway exits. Aerial units were not yet deployed. At that stage, no one knew if it was a kidnapping, a car theft, or a voluntary disappearance. By late afternoon, the family went public. Naomi's photo, smiling, brown hair, blue eyes, spread across local news and Facebook community pages. The post read, "Missing since this morning from Walmart parking lot in Fernley. If you see her or her vehicle, call 911 immediately." Community search. Volunteers gathered that evening at the Love's Travel Stop, a half mile from the Walmart. They printed flyers and divided the surrounding desert into search grids. Some drove along dirt roads that led toward the Lahontan Reservoir. Others checked culverts and abandoned buildings. Night temperatures dropped into the 30s, and wind swept fine dust across the headlights of pickup trucks. Casey stayed near the Walmart, speaking with deputies and reporters. His voice trembled during interviews, but his focus never wavered. He knew something was wrong. Naomi was punctual, responsible, and close to family. She never vanished without notice. By midnight, more than 40 volunteers had joined the effort. The sheriff's office confirmed the FBI had been notified because of the possible interstate link. Naomi's phone had stopped transmitting at 5:58 a.m., 3 minutes after her car left the lot, tracing the car. The next morning, deputies reviewed extended footage from neighboring businesses. At 5:57 a.m., a vehicle matching Naomi's was seen turning west on Interstate 80. Cameras at the Fernley Highway 50 interchange lost sight of it soon after. Detectives plotted the probable route using gas station timestamps. Within 24 hours, they located her car near a rural road outside Wadsworth, approximately 11 miles from the Walmart. The car was locked. Inside were her purse, phone, and laptop. The keys were missing. Tire tracks led back toward the highway, suggesting it had been dropped there intentionally. Forensic technicians collected fingerprints, soil samples, and fiber evidence. The vehicle was towed to the crime lab in Reno for analysis. The FBI Mobile Command Unit arrived by Monday morning, March 14. They began a full-scale search using K-9 units and drones over open desert terrain. The official statement called it a suspicious disappearance, but privately, investigators had already categorized it as an abduction. The town on edge. Fernley had fewer than 20,000 residents. In small towns, fear travels faster than facts. Parents stopped letting teenagers walk alone to work. Walmart increased private security patrols. At schools, assemblies reminded students to share locations with family. Local news stations aired hourly updates. Reporters replayed the short clip of the unidentified man approaching Naomi's car. The still image, blurred and grainy, circulated on social media with the caption, "Do you recognize this person?" The sheriff's office received dozens of tips, most false, a few promising. A neighbor of the Walmart fuel station claimed she saw a dark-colored pickup idling that morning. Another caller described a man matching the video wearing the same hoodie days earlier at a gas station in Fallon, 30 miles east. Each tip was logged, cross-checked, and assigned to detectives for follow-up. The family's vigil. By Tuesday, Naomi's family organized a press conference outside the Lyon County Courthouse. They pleaded for public assistance and asked the suspect to come forward. Behind them, volunteers held posters printed with her graduation photo. Reporters asked whether Naomi might have known the man. Casey answered firmly, "No, she didn't. She was taken." His words became the lead line on the evening broadcast. Donations poured into the search fund. Drone pilots from nearby counties volunteered equipment to scan arid gullies that stretched miles from the highway. Every day without progress felt longer. Each new rumor, someone thought they saw the car, someone heard a scream, turned out unfounded. Yet the effort never slowed. Inside the command post, the sheriff's office set up a temporary command center in a municipal building near Main Street. Maps of the surrounding desert hung on corkboards. Red pins marked vehicle sightings, blue pins tracked search sectors. Investigators rewatched the Walmart footage frame by frame. The suspect's movements were methodical. He walked past, paused, looked around, returned. There was no sign of struggle. That calm precision disturbed even seasoned deputies. They noted his height, around 6 feet, and a distinctive gait. Forensic technicians enhanced the video and matched partial details of the pickup later linked to him. License plate readers on highways provided another piece of the puzzle. Growing media attention. National outlets began covering the story by midweek. Abducted from Walmart parking lot, one headline read. Interviews with the Irian family aired on morning programs. The case symbolized the fear of everyday vulnerability, a young woman snatched from a public, well-lit space. Community members tied blue ribbons on street signs and car antennas. Candlelight vigils were held each night outside the Walmart. When drones flew overhead during searches, residents paused to watch, hoping for any sign of her. Detectives, meanwhile, continued analyzing the car's evidence. They found no signs of forced entry, meaning the door had been unlocked. Soil from the tires matched samples from a remote area of Churchill County. That discovery would soon redirect the search entirely. A pattern in the desert. Search teams expanded west toward Fallon and the Humboldt Sink. The region was vast, hundreds of square miles of dry lakebed and sagebrush. The Nevada Bureau of Investigation joined the task force. K-9 units detected faint scent traces near an abandoned mine road, but shifting winds made tracking impossible. Deputies interviewed employees of nearby construction sites and freight depots. One security guard recalled seeing a green pickup parked near the lot several mornings earlier. Investigators cross-referenced this with local registration data. Out of hundreds of similar vehicles, one stood out, registered to a man named Troy Driver, a a resident of Fernley with a prior record for violent crime. The lead was not yet conclusive, but it aligned with video stills showing a similar truck driving near the Walmart at 5:52 a.m. the morning of the abduction. The breakthrough approaches. By the end of that first week, the case had transformed from missing person to criminal abduction with a named suspect under surveillance. Deputies monitored drivers' movements discreetly while awaiting forensic confirmation from the car. DNA analysis was expedited at the state lab. In those tense days, Naomi's family continued to hope she was alive somewhere, held but recoverable. Posters now bore both her face and a composite sketch of the man from the video. Investigators prepared search warrants for drivers' home and vehicles, but the execution would wait until probable cause became airtight. Behind closed doors, they feared time was running out. The community's longest week. As search parties combed the desert each morning, the temperature climbed into the 80s. Volunteers carried maps and water jugs, calling Naomi's name through radio static. Local businesses donated fuel and food. Casey drove between search sectors, helping coordinate efforts. At night, he recorded short messages for social media, urging anyone with dashcam footage from March 12th to contact the sheriff's office. Tips continued to flow. One of them soon proved decisive. A delivery driver recalled seeing a dark-colored pickup traveling east on Interstate 80 around 6 a.m., pulling off near the turnoff to Coal Canyon Road. Investigators cross-checked the timestamp with cell phone tower data and confirmed that Naomi's phone had pinged a nearby tower minutes later. That convergence gave them their first solid geographic target. Into the desert. Early Saturday, March 19th, a coordinated search began in the high desert near the Churchill County line. Deputies, FBI agents, and volunteers worked methodically, sweeping ravines and dry creek beds. Around midday, one team discovered a disturbed patch of soil near a dirt road. The area was cordoned off immediately. Forensic examiners found tire impressions matching Naomi's vehicle and footprints consistent with a man's size 11 boot. Within hours, the scene was declared a crime site. Investigators collected samples and began excavation. By late afternoon, they located human remains in a shallow grave. Identification would take several days, but everyone on scene understood what it meant. The following evening, the sheriff's office confirmed that human remains consistent with Naomi Irian had been recovered and sent for autopsy to the Washoe County Medical Examiner's Office. Confirmation. On March 30th, DNA analysis officially confirmed the remains as Naomi's. The cause of death was ruled homicide by gunshot. The sheriff's office held a press conference announcing that the suspect, Troy Driver, 41, had been arrested earlier in connection with the abduction and charged with murder, kidnapping, and evidence destruction. For the town, the announcement brought both relief and heartbreak. The mystery of Naomi's disappearance was solved, but the finality of it silenced the community that had searched so hard to find her alive. Closing the first phase. As investigators processed the scene, they reconstructed the timeline from the moment Naomi entered the parking lot to the discovery site in Churchill County. The precision of drivers' movements suggested planning rather than impulse. Surveillance data and witness statements supported that conclusion, though a clear motive remained unknown. In Fernley, candles continued to burn outside the Walmart entrance. Employees placed a framed photograph of Naomi near the shuttle stop where she once waited for work. The first chapter of the case ended there, with the discovery of truth, but not yet understanding. The man accused was in custody, the evidence strong, yet the question remained. Why? That question would define the next stage of the investigation. Chapter 2, The Trail in the Desert. When the search ended in tragedy, the investigation turned to reconstruction. Every timeline, every image, every mile of desert had to be laid out in sequence. The Lyon County Sheriff's Office and the FBI built a joint task force to map the 20-minute window between Naomi Irian's abduction and the disappearance of her car from highway cameras. They started with data, the digital traces left by phones, vehicles, and security systems. The timeline rebuilt. At 5:49 a.m. on March 12th, Naomi's car appeared on Walmart surveillance near the east lot. The suspect walked toward it at 5:50, entered by 5:54, and drove away by 5:55. At 5:58, Naomi's cell phone sent its final ping near Interstate 80 westbound. Investigators overlaid that data with vehicle sightings from highway-mounted cameras. The car was seen entering the interchange at Fernley at 5:59. It did not reappear on the next camera west, which suggested the driver exited quickly, perhaps onto rural frontage roads. By using travel speed averages and known turnoffs, detectives estimated where the vehicle could have gone. The likeliest route led south toward farm roads bordering Lahontan Valley, an area of open sagebrush and abandoned gravel pits. The pickup. While technicians processed Naomi's recovered car, another key clue emerged. A dark green pickup captured in the Walmart footage several minutes before the abduction. It drove slowly across the lot, parked briefly behind a row of carts, and left the camera's view. Detectives compared that image to registration records for every green pickup in Lyon County. There were hundreds, but one name triggered a deeper look: Troy Edward Driver. He owned a green Chevy pickup and lived barely a mile from the Walmart. More concerning, his criminal record showed a history of violence. In 1997, at age 17, he had been involved in an armed robbery and homicide in California, for which he served prison time. Driver's name was not immediately released. Investigators placed him under quiet observation. Forensics speak. At the Washoe County Crime Lab, Naomi's car became a case of controlled precision. Every fiber, print, and soil trace mattered. Technicians dusted for latent fingerprints and lifted several partials from the steering wheel and door handles. DNA swabs from the driver's seat were fast-tracked. The first break came from a single strand of hair found on the seat back, not belonging to Naomi. Preliminary testing matched it to the suspect under surveillance. The FBI lab confirmed a genetic link to Troy Driver. Meanwhile, the soil samples taken from the car's wheel wells matched the unique mineral content of an area in Churchill County known for its alkaline flats. That same area, 40 miles away, was where Naomi's remains had been discovered. The chain of evidence was tightening. The warrant. On March 24, 2022, investigators presented affidavits to a Lyon County judge requesting search warrants for Driver's residence, vehicles, and digital devices. Probable cause was supported by video surveillance, DNA evidence, and vehicle trace data. The warrants were signed the same day. That afternoon, deputies and FBI agents surrounded Driver's home on Jenny's Lane. He was taken into custody without incident. His pickup was seized and transported to the crime lab for forensic analysis. Inside his residence, investigators found several items of interest: gloves resembling those seen in the Walmart footage, ammunition, and a shovel with soil consistent with the burial site. Computer forensics later revealed online searches related to remote areas near Fallon, Nevada. The interrogation. At the Lyon County Detention Center, Driver was questioned for several hours. Detectives described him as calm, guarded, and methodical. He denied knowing Naomi Irian and said he had not been near the Walmart that morning. When confronted with surveillance footage showing his vehicle near the scene, he paused but offered no explanation. Interviews with neighbors later revealed that Driver had left home unusually early that Saturday and returned before 7 a.m. One neighbor reported seeing him wash his pickup in the driveway later that day, despite the cold weather. Investigators logged those statements as corroborating evidence. The autopsy. The medical examiner's report, completed on March 28, confirmed that Naomi Irian had died from a gunshot wound to the head. The manner of death was homicide. The report detailed no further trauma, indicating a quick act of violence. Toxicology tests were negative for drugs or alcohol. The findings established a narrow window of time for the murder, likely within the first hour after the abduction. Forensic entomology supported that timeline based on decomposition estimates consistent with desert exposure. Building the case. With physical evidence, digital trails, and a suspect in custody, prosecutors moved quickly. The Lyon County District Attorney's Office filed multiple charges: first-degree murder, first-degree kidnapping, robbery, and destruction of evidence. Court documents outlined a theory that Driver abducted Naomi from the Walmart lot, drove her to a remote desert location, and killed her within an hour. The motive remained unclear. Investigators found no evidence that the two had ever met. Prosecutors requested no bail, citing risk to public safety and the seriousness of the offense. Public reaction. When the charges were announced, the town of Fernley exhaled, a mixture of relief and disbelief. The man accused had lived quietly among them for years. He worked construction jobs, kept to himself, and had no recent criminal complaints. Community members gathered again outside Walmart, this time holding both candles and signs demanding justice. News trucks lined the access road as reporters filed live segments. The Irian family attended the briefing in silence. Naomi's mother thanked the volunteers and investigators, her voice breaking only once when she said, "We will not rest until the truth is told in full." Digital reconstruction. While prosecutors prepared their case, the FBI's digital forensic unit reconstructed the sequence of the abduction using synchronized camera feeds. From the moment driver entered the frame to the car's exit, exactly 5 minutes and 20 seconds passed. Motion analysis showed that Naomi did not appear to resist, either coerced or frozen by fear. Investigators noted the suspect's confidence. His posture, timing, and awareness of blind spots suggested planning. The footage was enhanced for court use, each frame timestamped. A simulation showed the route Naomi's car likely took to reach the disposal site, supported by GPS data from her phone before it went dark. The desert's evidence. Back in Churchill County, forensic teams continued excavating the burial site. They recovered shell casings, fragments of duct tape, and plastic debris consistent with items found in driver's truck. Tire impressions matched the tread pattern of his vehicle. Casts were taken and compared under laboratory conditions, an exact match. Investigators also uncovered a spent bullet fragment later matched to a handgun recovered from driver's residence. Ballistics testing confirmed the weapon fired the round that killed Naomi. The psychological profile. The FBI Behavioral Analysis Unit contributed a report suggesting driver's crime fit the pattern of a controlled abduction, where the perpetrator seeks power and secrecy rather than random violence. The lack of ransom demand, the remote burial, and the swift concealment of evidence pointed to a solitary offender acting with preparation. The report emphasized his prior violent history as a potential predictor, but stopped short of asserting motive. There was no indication of a personal relationship, stalking behavior, or financial incentive. For prosecutors, this absence of motive was both a challenge and a haunting mystery. The preliminary hearing. On April 5, 2022, Troy Driver appeared in Leon County District Court for arraignment. Dressed in a jail-issued uniform, he spoke little, entering no plea. The judge read each charge aloud. The courtroom was packed with reporters and members of the Irian family. Outside, supporters held signs that read "Justice for Naomi." Prosecutors summarized the evidence: video surveillance, DNA, ballistics, and digital records. Defense counsel requested additional time for discovery review. The judge scheduled a follow-up hearing and ordered Driver held without bail. The waiting period. Weeks passed. Investigators continued interviewing potential witnesses and revisiting the Walmart area for missed evidence. A forensic audit of Driver's phone showed deleted text messages and location data corresponding to the abduction timeframe. Though prosecutors were confident, they avoided speculation in public statements. They wanted the case built entirely on verified facts. Meanwhile, Naomi's family worked to establish a foundation in her name, dedicated to supporting search efforts for other missing persons. Her brother spoke publicly about the need for security upgrades in large parking lots. The custody death. On August 6, 2023, more than a year after his arrest, Troy Driver was found dead in his jail cell at the Lyon County Detention Center. Officials ruled it a suicide. The announcement ended any possibility of a full trial. Prosecutors formally dismissed charges following his death, as required by law. The sheriff's office closed the case, listing Driver as the sole suspect. For the Irian family, the closure was partial at best. Without a trial, no courtroom testimony, and no cross-examination, key questions about motive, method, and possible accomplices would remain unanswered. Aftermath. Following the case closure, investigators released a comprehensive summary of findings. The report detailed the chain of events, from Naomi's abduction at 5:55 a.m. to her death within the hour. All forensic evidence converged on Driver as the perpetrator. Yet within that clarity lay silence. Why had he done it? There was no confession, no manifesto, no digital footprint revealing intent. The report's final section read, "Investigation concludes suspect acted alone. Motive remains undetermined." The family's reflection. Naomi's parents addressed the public days later. They thanked the community, law enforcement, and volunteers. Their statement emphasized remembrance over speculation. "We know what happened. We may never know why. But we choose to honor who she was, not how she was taken." A memorial scholarship was established at Fernley High School for students pursuing engineering, Naomi's intended field of study. At the Walmart lot, A small plaque was installed near the shuttle stop where she had once waited. It read simply, "In memory of Naomi Irian, 2003-2022. The investigator's perspective." Detectives later described the case as one of the fastest and most coordinated in their careers. From disappearance to arrest had taken less than 2 weeks. The use of digital forensics, particularly surveillance and cell tower mapping, had been decisive. Still, many admitted the ending left them unsettled. Without motive or trial, justice felt incomplete. Some continued to review evidence in private, hoping for posthumous clarity. None emerged. The larger questions. The killing of Naomi Irian reignited national debate about parking lot safety and early warning systems. Advocates called for improved lighting, more cameras, and better coordination between retailers and law enforcement. For criminologists, the case became a study in rapid abduction dynamics, how quickly opportunity and planning can intersect. For families of missing persons, it was a reminder of how fragile those first minutes are. Chapter 3, The Unanswered Motive. The official case file on Naomi Irian filled 5 thick binders. Every page, timestamp, and photo told the same story. How an 18-year-old woman vanished before sunrise and how the investigation closed in on a single man. What the file could not tell was why. When Troy Driver was found dead in his jail cell in August 2023, that final piece disappeared with him. His death ended the prosecution but began another kind of investigation, one that looked inward into the gaps left behind. The death in custody. At 7:15 a.m., a detention officer conducting routine rounds found Driver unresponsive. Medical staff attempted resuscitation for 12 minutes. The coroner later ruled the death a suicide by hanging. No foul play was suspected. For the sheriff's office, it was a double blow. The loss of a prisoner under their care and the collapse of a high-profile murder case that had gripped Nevada for more than a year. Within hours, prosecutors filed formal dismissal notices. Without a living defendant, the law required closure. Detectives boxed the remaining evidence and prepared a final summary report. It ended with the line, "Investigation concluded. Suspect deceased." The family's shock. News of the suicide reached the Irian family through a phone call from the district attorney's office. Naomi's brother described the moment as an ending without justice. They had waited 16 months for a trial that would have shown every fact in public view. Instead, the final word came from a coroner's report. At a press conference 2 days later, her mother spoke softly. "We believed the court would give Naomi her voice back. Now that voice has been silenced again." The family's focus shifted from conviction to remembrance. They announced plans to continue Naomi's foundation for missing persons and pushed for a statewide Naomi's Law, requiring enhanced parking lot surveillance and faster emergency activation protocols for abduction cases. The investigative debrief. Inside the Lyon County Sheriff's Office, a post-case review ran for 3 weeks. Detectives analyzed every phase, from the first 911 call to the suspect's arrest. One conclusion stood out. The critical window between abduction and recovery had been only 20 minutes. That narrow span meant Naomi's death occurred almost immediately. Detectives realized they had done everything possible within the limits of time and technology. Still, many spoke of frustration. Without a confession, motive analysis could only be theoretical. FBI profilers proposed several possibilities: power assertion, opportunistic control, or post-prison stress relapse. None could be proven. Driver's personal devices yielded no incriminating diaries or fantasies. He had no social media presence, few friends, and no known romantic partners. Neighbors described him as quiet, mechanical, and hard to read. A portrait of the suspect. Public records painted a fractured history. Born in California, Driver had spent most of his life moving between small towns in the western United States. He served a long sentence for armed robbery and accessory to murder in the late 1990s. After release, he took construction jobs, often short-term, avoiding attention. Coworkers described him as competent but distant. He rarely spoke about his past. He owned an older pickup, lived modestly, and kept to a narrow routine: early mornings, work, grocery runs, and home. Nothing in his outward life explained the act that ended Naomi's. FBI analysts later referred to him as a low-visibility offender, a person capable of violence but skilled at appearing ordinary. For criminologists, that pattern was both common and chilling. The autopsy of the case. Following the suspect's death, investigators conducted a final review of physical evidence. Every trace, the hair fiber, the shell casing, the soil on the shovel, was matched and confirmed. The medical examiner reaffirmed that Naomi had died quickly, probably at or near the burial site. There were no signs of prolonged suffering or additional injuries. That finding, though cold comfort, gave her family a measure of peace. The evidence's strength left no doubt. Driver alone had abducted and killed her. Yet motive stayed blank. Detective Chief Mark Lopez summarized it bluntly in the debrief. "We can tell you every minute of what he did. We can't tell you why." The legal aftermath. Even after case closure, paperwork continued. Insurance claims, victim compensation filings, and the final order of dismissal moved through the courts. The Irian family's attorney requested that all evidence remain preserved indefinitely, in case new information ever surfaced. Civil attorneys explored whether the family could pursue damages against the county for the suspect's suicide, arguing that his death deprived them of justice. After review, no legal avenue existed. The focus returned to memorial and reform. The sheriff publicly expressed regret. While the investigation was successful, the outcome left questions that no court can now answer. The public conversation. Local talk radio and national outlets revisited the case. Commentators debated what might have triggered driver's actions: mental health relapse, prior trauma, random predation. Some questioned whether early warning technologies like real-time license plate tracking could have changed the result. Experts pointed to how surveillance had, in fact, solved the case swiftly, proving the value of cameras in public spaces. But critics warned against equating rapid detection with prevention. For the citizens of Fernley, the discussion felt personal. Many had shopped at that same Walmart, parked under those same lights, and realized how ordinary danger could appear. The community memorial. On the first anniversary of Naomi's death, hundreds gathered in the Walmart parking lot. Blue ribbons fluttered in the evening wind. A local pastor led a short prayer, followed by a moment of silence at exactly 5:55 a.m., the minute her car left the frame on the surveillance tape. Afterward, Casey Valdez spoke briefly. "We remember her not for how she died, but for how she lived, curious, kind, and always moving toward her dreams." The crowd released blue balloons that rose slowly over the desert sky until they disappeared into morning light. Institutional lessons. The case left lasting marks on Nevada law enforcement procedure. The state's Missing Persons Clearinghouse added a rapid response protocol, modeled on the Amber Alert system, but usable for adult abductions with verified video evidence. Training programs emphasized parking lot security assessments and partnerships with major retailers. Walmart implemented a pilot project adding higher resolution cameras and emergency call stations in several western locations. The Lyon County Sheriff's Office published an internal case study detailing the investigation's digital workflow. How synchronized video and cell tower mapping narrowed the search from 50 square miles to one location in less than a week. The report circulated nationally as an example of efficient interagency coordination. The emotional toll. For the investigators, closure did not mean peace. Several officers took leave after the case, citing exhaustion. Crime scene technicians described recurring images: the empty parking lot, the desert wind moving across the shallow grave. One detective kept a small pebble from the search site on his desk, a reminder of why he worked cases like these. For Naomi's family, grief shifted form. The early months had been frantic, filled with action. After the case closed, silence settled in, a slower kind of pain. They spoke of two Naomis, the one in family memories and the one frozen forever in a single frame of video. The broader reflection. True crime observers often seek logic, a reason, a pattern, something that separates the dangerous from the safe. Naomi's case defied that comfort. She had done everything right, parked in a lit area, kept routine contact, lived responsibly. The randomness of her abduction challenged every notion of predictability. Criminologists used the case in lectures to illustrate the limits of behavioral profiling. It reminded them that opportunity, not motive, often drives sudden acts of violence. For ordinary people, it became a story about vigilance, how one quiet morning can shift the course of many lives. The legacy. By 2024, the Naomi Irian Foundation had grown into a regional nonprofit assisting families of the missing. Volunteers offered search coordination, media support, and counseling referrals. Their slogan, "Bring them home," appeared on car magnets and posters across Nevada. In Fernley, A small scholarship fund under Naomi's name supported graduates pursuing engineering and public safety degrees. The first recipient thanked the family during a local ceremony, saying, "Naomi's dream keeps moving through us. The record that remains." The final case archive now rests in the Nevada State Police repository. Evidence boxes sealed, digital drives encrypted. Access requires written request and approval from the district attorney. The footage, once broadcast on every news channel, now sits in cold storage, a reminder of the investigation's precision and its human cost. Detectives occasionally revisit the file, sometimes during training sessions. Younger officers study how fast coordination led to recovery. Older ones pause longer on the photos, remembering the faces of the volunteers and the family who waited at command posts night after night. Reflection and quiet closure. A year after the suspect's death, a journalist asked Casey what closure meant to him now. He answered without hesitation. "Closure isn't a door that shuts," he said. "It's the light we keep on so she's never forgotten." That sentiment echoed across Fernley. Each March, small candles appear on car dashboards and store counters at dawn. No ceremony, no speeches, just a simple act of remembrance. The final note. The killing of Naomi Irion will remain one of Nevada's most meticulously solved, yet emotionally unfinished cases. Law enforcement could trace every movement, every signal, every fiber of evidence, but not intent. Perhaps that is the true weight of the story, that technology can capture truth, but never motive. The question, why, dies with the offender, leaving only the record of what he did and the people determined to remember her name. In the end, the last image endures, the still frame from a parking lot camera, timestamped 5:55 a.m., March 12, 2022. A car door opens, a shadow steps in, and the vehicle rolls away into darkness. For investigators, for family, and for a small desert town, everything that followed began at that precise moment. And everything unanswered remains there still.